Welcome to University Drive, your pathway to the transformational work of University of the Bahamas. Our goal is to build a better Bahamas by shaping tomorrow's leaders today, finding solutions to challenges, and forging new opportunities for growth. University Drive, where faculty, staff, students, and alumni travel the road of progress together with you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to University Drive. If the voice sounds different, that's because it is. I am Craig Smith, and after spending quite a few episodes in the hot seat as a guest, the tables have turned. I'll be your host for a few episodes of University Drive as our conversations for season 11 continue to probe the many areas where UB has been a contributor to nation building, to moving down the road of progress. Theater has long been a cornerstone of human expression, reflecting our joys, our struggles, and aspirations. But why is that art form important to us as a society? What do we risk in ignoring the arts or not ensuring its fullest development? And what do we gain if our wholehearted support is given? Those are several of the questions we'll be tackling today. Our guests for this episode are Dean of Liberal Arts at UB, Dr. Barkey, Professor and Dundas Center for the Performing Arts Director, Dr. Nicolette Bethel, and UB Theater Company member and a CIS major at UB, Alexia Mangal. Thank you all for being here for this historic 11th season of University Drive.
Thank you for having me, us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, I'm happy to be here.
Wonderful. So let's start with proper intros so our listeners can know more about you. Though I think one of you may not need an introduction. However, Dean Barkey, tell us a bit about your background that makes it relevant to our conversations today.
Well, I've been Dean of Liberal and Fine Arts, and of course that involves the fine arts, which includes performing arts as well. And so that's a major interest of mine, certainly theater and related things to that, from acting, costuming, stage design, and so on. My background has been more in the visual arts, I would say, overall. All I've had at different administrative positions had performing arts under my purview as well. And certainly visual arts crosses quite a bit into the world of theater just because so much of theater is visual. And so costumes are really part of fashion design and stage set design is really part of interior design or architectural design and so on. And then simply the overall ambiental design of a stage as well. So those are certainly crossover over areas. I'm in my fifth year. We have been working very hard to develop a BFA in theater studies, and it would have two tracks, acting and then a production track. So really hoping to build that. And I think that the people on this call, from a member of the theater production company to the director of Dundas, or the local theater vehicle or the location for much of the, really all of the most innovative theater happening on the island. These are all the right people that I connect with as far as developing the program and so on. So that's my interest. And I hope that's enough of my background. I could go longer, of course, but I won't take up more time.
That's good. Thank you very much. And Alexia, how did your love of theater grow? Tell us a little bit about yourself and your involvement in theater.
Well, from I was young, I was always interested in being on screens, on stages, but I've always had a fear of performing in front of people. I always had a love for it. But when I actually joined your class, you actually helped push me more into it, which actually grew my love. The first play I've ever acted in being Still Standing, which is still my favorite piece I've ever performed in. And I honestly just want to continue to grow in it because I feel as if it helps you to just be yourself without the fear of being judged. And that's something I'm still struggling with. And acting, I feel, helps me to overcome that.
Wonderful. Thank you. I'm sure that's, you know, and that's one of the reasons why we do it too. I'm sure that Nicolette will attest to that in terms of seeing how young people come alive, right, on the stage, and how that also transcends off of the stage into their lives as well. Dr. Nicolette Bethel, talk to us a little bit about what keeps you motivated about the performing arts and our culture.
Thank you. So I happen to believe that the creative impulse in general is what is being referred to as the breath of God or the divine. You know, when we look at Genesis and we talk about making humans in God's own image, I believe that it's the creative impulse. And then when we go to performing arts and theater, theater is probably one of the oldest, if not the oldest, sources of healing, of ritual activity that humans have been doing. It doesn't always look the same as it does in the West, but theater as a place of healing was used by the ancient Greeks, certainly by Africans, to make people whole in their societies, right? And there's the whole theory around catharsis, which is that collective emotion that you can create when performers and audiences are all in the same space. And so I am absolutely committed to the idea that theater is a place of healing. Theater is a place where we develop collaborative skills. Theater is a place where we exercise empathy, which is really important in our society at this point in time. And theater for Bahamians is also one of the ways in which we know and understand ourselves. I would make the argument that the greatest development of Bahamian literature is in the performing arts and in theater in particular.
Good. I like that. And I like that you connected theater and theater practices to Africa as well. I think sometimes we get these in these conversations where certain people believe that this isn't our thing. It isn't something that we do. So I'm glad that you made that connection. And also in terms of theater as a mode of healing as well. So I think that those are really important things that we should sort of focus on in the conversation, throughout the conversation. So Dean Barkey, what role do you see the liberal and fine arts playing in shaping society's values and perspectives? And how can theater specifically contribute to this dialogue?
Well, I think one aspect of having a vibrant theater scene is that you have to have a pipeline of actors and producers and all the supporting personnel have to do with creating a play, a environment, a scene, a story even, that is going to be produced and made public and which the public can enjoy and be blessed from. I mean, those are all, I think, parts of it. So education and our program, Lib Arts and Liberal Fine Arts, I think we'll eventually be able to, well, I think we already are, because we do have certainly for a number of years a beginning to that, right, where we have the theater club and so on. So we have things that are building, but we need to formalize it. And also, I think, bring higher level of professional training. So by creating a four-year program, that means we're going to have a student who for 4 years has been able to focus on an aspect of theater. And I think that will really increase the quality of production, the quality of acting. It'll, I think, have a tremendous impact on just the theater community environment in Nassau in the Bahamas. So I think that's our role that we play is in education. I think the other piece that you brought up earlier, just about the whole Caribbean Bahamian perspective, you know, right now you can go a lot of places to get a BFA in theater, but it's outside the country. And so your experience then is not grounded in your own culture. It's grounded, in fact, in other cultures. And so to have that experience here where, you know, the faculty are perhaps international and Bahamian as well. The curriculum is created by our faculty. I mean, there's all kinds of subtle ways that you're shaping thinking approaches, and you're able to then innovate around your own culture, your own values, your own stories, right, of your culture. Whereas when you're outside of your country, far away somewhere else, you're then responding to that environment, and it's hard to really create your own niche, you know, your own identity. And so I think that the for me, the educational piece is such an important foundation, right? Based on that, you can do so much more once you have that.
Thank you. And so you mentioned that you were at the forefront of creating a BFA in theater here at UB. Dr. Bethel, I'm wondering, you know, for those who may say, why I could spend my money to send my child to UB for a BFA in theater, what they could do with that? How do you respond to those folks?
My first response would be come out of the 20th century into the 21st century, because a grounding in any of the creative arts, and particularly in the performing arts, is much more relevant in our century now than it has been in years and years and years. And there's a lot of opportunity. The challenge that we have in general in the Bahamas right now, although it is beginning to change, is that there is no theater profession. But given the fact that we have 7 million tourists coming to our shores every year, there is plenty of scope for such a profession. And Alexia was talking about wanting to act on film. And a lot of the actors who come through the Dundas, Shakespeare in Paradise, Ring Play Productions, get work by on commercials, get work on television, get work on Paradise Island, and get work at national events. There are not enough people well enough trained to be able to deliver at the highest possible quality, particularly with regard to national events and other things. And a training, a background in theater is something that is going to open up, particularly if it's a background in technical theater, is something that opens up a lot of avenues that people don't even think about at this point in time. So I'm just going to say, yeah, let go of what was good in the 1900s and find out what's good in the 2000s.
And I think that is really important. You sort of touched on it in discussing technical theater, but I think oftentimes people also think about, when we think about theater or a degree in theater, we only think about acting, right? Can you talk a little bit more about the diversity, or you and Dr. Barkey maybe, talk about the diversity that is a part of theatrical work outside of just acting?
Sure. I mean, theater is an extremely collaborative art. The acting, the story, so you have the acting, which is the performances, but in order to do performances, you have to have the story. So we need playwrights. People nowadays, you need to direct things. You need to be able to pull things together and get everybody even. And so you need directors. You need people who work behind the scenes. It's a little army that pulls off a live performance. And then you also need to add in your lighting and sound. And these are the technical areas that I'm talking about. We have a lot of people, for example, who are trained or experienced in providing lighting and sound for concerts and for big musical events, right? But there's a big difference between that, which tends to be extremely over the top and melodramatic and big and expressive, and the kind of subtlety and the kind of highlighting of dramatic points that is required for providing sound and light for a theatrical production. What I tend to see in a lot of cases, people who are not brought up in theater doing technical stuff, is that they overwhelm the human actors with sound effects, with whatever. And I think that what we really need to be looking at is how to complement the human voice, the human body. And that's what lighting and sound should be doing in that arena. I'm not going to talk so much about the design side, because we have Doug in the room. Dean Barkey in the room. And I think that he can talk a lot more about the design side. There's a whole lot of other things. Theater is a whole set of industries that come together. And if you have a fully working theater, you're hiring carpenters, electricians, you're hiring costume designers and seamstresses, or people who make costumes, because I'm going to try not to assume that they're all going to be women. Mm-hmm. So I'll turn it over to Dean Barkey for him to talk a little bit more about the design side of theater.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I think, and that's really a key aspect when you think about it, because the designer is making some key choices around colors, textiles, about the space of the stage and how people will move through it. There's just so much wrapped up in that concept of that theatrical space, and then how you're creating this illusion. Sometimes not illusion, sometimes very direct, right? You're not even worried about that part, but many times it's an illusion. Anyone who's seen, like if you've seen a Broadway play, especially, you know, fully produced one, they're just incredible illusions. They're so clever and crafty with the way they present these facades that when from the audience viewpoint, they just feel so real. And it just elevates the whole play. And I mean, so the actors is inside all that. I mean, in a way, some ways, the actor is almost a small player. And without all this stuff around them, they would be nothing. They would be on an empty stage talking. And so all that supporting network is so important. You know, the other part, too, that's interesting is the business side, because every play has to be produced and financed. So, and you're collecting tickets. I mean, there's a whole entrepreneurial side to this also that we haven't mentioned. And that reaches across a lot of many disciplines, that you have that just the production, the producer side of it, right? Making it happen from a very high level.
Right. And so we're actually building industries when we're talking about theater and developing theater. Alexia, let me get you in the conversation really quickly. You're a CIS major, and you're into performing arts. And you are, so talk to us a little bit about that. It seems very different. You've always been interested in theater.
Yes. So I've always been interested, but what kept me back was my fear of public speaking, just of people in general. Growing up, I've always loved computers as well, especially with my parents. They had a major, major, major impact on that. My dad, he loves computers, and I got that from him. So I thought that I'd just kind of follow in his footsteps doing that at school, because I wasn't too sure if it was actually offered at UB. So I just took what I knew that I loved. And then when I found out that there was actually a theater production, I wanted to join it. I wanted to try and get in there as best as possible and just learn whatever I could possibly learn, whether it be stage directions, whether it be with props, costumes, lighting, anything that's possible that could give me some knowledge on it, I was willing to just take that.
Okay, wonderful. This is a good point to take our first break. When we come back, we'll have more conversations about fostering success in our performing arts.
Are you ready to take your knowledge or career to new heights? Don't wait to invest in your future. Do it now. How? Earn a professional development certificate from University of the Bahamas. Whether you're looking to enhance your leadership abilities, sharpen your technical skills, or explore a new field entirely, our Continuing Education and Lifelong Learning Center has the ideal course for you. We offer single-phase electrical, ethics in procurement, accounting for entrepreneurship, stop managing, start leading, dynamic presentations, digital marketing, superior customer service, and justice of the peace. We even have courses on smartphone photography, TikTok videos, defensive driving, and interacting with difficult people. Or open the door to new languages with English as a second language, conversational Chinese, and Spanish in the workplace. Our instructors are experts in their fields, and they're here to support you every step of the way. Call us at 302-4449. Enroll today.
Welcome back to University Drive. I'm your host, Craig Smith, and our guests are Dr. Douglas Barkey, Dr. Nicolette Bethel, and Alexia Mangal. We're here talking about the performing arts in the Bahamas. So we talked, contextualized a little bit about the importance of theater in the Bahamas in terms of the very practical stuff, right? Before the break, in terms of job opportunities. But Nico, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about outside of the business that would come out of theater, like What is the value of theater in our lives, in terms of our culture, in terms of our personhood?
Thanks. So I think that that's a big question, and I could take forever to answer it. But I think in two ways. One is theater connects us with human experience, and it makes us see the world in different ways. If we just think about the way in which we consume what's on the screen, which is an extension, it's an alternate world, right? It gives us the ability to experience lives from other people's perspectives. It can help us understand who we are and who other people are. It can help us express ourselves. But when you take that and put it in a live context, which ramps up the stakes a lot, because when you're in a live performance, and I think Alexia could speak to this, you as a performer have to be communicating with and connecting with those people, the audience, who are in the room with you at the same time. And you can lose them really easily, or you can keep them. And the exciting thing about theater is that it helps to change people. Theater is one of those things that actually make people different. And I'll just talk about one experience that I had going back to Short Tales 2018, when we first did our incubator of New Bohemian Work, Short Tales. There was an individual who submitted a play. It was a very sweet play, but it was about same-sex relations. It was about a daughter who was in a long-term committed relationship with another woman, and then that woman, that daughter died. And it's set at the moment right after the funeral of that daughter, when the mother confronts the lover. And it talks about all those things that people grapple with in our society, what God said and what this, you know, and the judgment that people have to live with. And it's a very sweet play, and it ends in a positive note. But one of the people in the audience was there with her daughter, and her daughter burst into tears during the production and said, "This is what I've been trying to tell you, mommy. This is how I am."
Wow.
And the mother said for the first time she was able to allow her daughter to be who she was.
That's powerful. That's powerful. And, you know, you talk about that, and that just reminds me of plays that Ian Strawn has written, right? Gun Boys, Rhapsody, and
Diary of Souls.
Diary of Souls in particular, yeah. Yes. I mean, every time I teach those in my classes, you know, students come out with a different understanding of a particular type of experience. And so, yeah, I think that it's very valuable in terms of confronting us with our realities oftentimes, right? Realities that we won't necessarily engage with outside of that particular space, but in that space when it's presented to you, and then you can go out and you can have a conversation about it. So I think that's very important for us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I know, Nico, that last year you did for 50-year anniversary of Bahamian independence, you took on the Herculean task of, what was it, a play a month?
It was a play a month for 13 months, the year of Bahamian theater in honor of the 50th anniversary of independence.
Right. How was that experience? And because I bring it up because I see that that you have some stuff going on this year as well, the beginning of this year.
Yeah.
And I'm used to, and maybe many of us are just used to productions in the fall, but I see now that we have productions in the spring as well. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So we, so last year, Shakespeare in Paradise did the Year of Bahamian Theater to celebrate the Bahamian theatrical tradition. And the idea was, we had 13 months, started in October 2022, ended in October 2023, and we did one play per month by a different Bahamian playwright. And so that ended up with, I have the numbers somewhere, like I think 16 playwrights, 15 plays, 14 directors, something like that. But it was in celebration of these people who have laid the foundation for Bahamian theater. And the idea was to celebrate it, but also to inspire us to move forward and to build on those achievements. And it enabled us. Ringplay Productions has been moving towards doing a spring season for the last several years. And back in 2020, we were about to do a full season. And then everybody knows what happened in March of 2020. So we did two plays and then it was done for 18 months. So we are now doing four plays, March, April, May, and June. So it's the same monthly thing, but not for the whole year. And we're not just focusing on Bahamian plays, although we are presenting one classic Bahamian play by Winston Saunders, his first play, Them. And we are premiering two new Bahamian plays next month. So I encourage people to get in touch. Go to shakespeareinparadise.org or the Dundas Center.org and see what's playing and join our mailing list so you can find out what's going on.
Wonderful. And Alexia, I know that you were actually in one of the plays last year, celebrating the 50 years of independence. And you are also currently in rehearsals now for a play. Can you talk to us a little bit about the play that you're working on now?
Yes. So the play that I'm in now is called Picky Peasy Nappy Head. It's about three children who just went through this major hurricane, just trying to survive, honestly, after losing someone and many things very special to them. It is very sweet. It actually opens your eyes up to a lot as well. I personally feel there is an older sister. She knows exactly what happened, but she is also just trying to convince her younger siblings that everything is okay, that everything will be fine for them. She's there for them. They have each other. And I think that's a very touching moment because there are a lot of siblings that are sometimes at war who just think that there's people out after them, their siblings. And with this and my co-stars, I really feel like there is a strong connection between us and that this play can actually open up a lot of eyes to the way it should be with family, when you lose someone, just having that support. Picky peasy, nappy head, I truly feel can help in that situation.
All right. And you were neglecting that play is actually a musical as well, right? So you'll be singing.
Yes, it is also a musical to kind of lighten up the mood. There are very funny moments inside it as well. So it's not all gloomy. Everything is quite happy. It's to bring happiness through sad times, which I absolutely love it. These kids, they just went through this tremendous hurricane and now they're running around and singing with joy about what they still have.
Wonderful. Alexia, I would like to I'm interested in, because you're very young, right? So how do you what would you say would be the best way to get more young people involved in theater? I also see that right now there's a lot of TikTok and Instagram and those sorts of things that seem to garner the attention of young people. Do you feel like young people your age, maybe young, a little bit younger, a little bit older, would they gravitate to the theater, or what can we do to get them more interested in a theater production? Because young people, they will travel to go to a concert or a basketball game. What would your advice be to those of us who are in theater, developing theater production? What would be your advice to support younger people?
For me, I would say more publication. I feel as though there are a lot of people my age, slightly younger, slightly older, that they don't support it as much. They don't push it out for other people to see. And I feel that is what's causing a lot of people to not want to go towards it. Just as me, I didn't think that there was any opportunity for me to have an acting career in the Bahamas. And I feel like there is a lot of people as well in the world who doesn't feel like they can possibly do it, because I will be honest, I did not know that UB did have a theater company. I didn't know about the Dundas. I had no idea of anything pertaining to acting. So I feel if people were to share it more, just like on their TikToks, if they promote it more, you know, they put it out there in the world and on their social media, share it with their friends that this is happening, I think it'll open up a lot of eyes. Because I think it was just last year where we had that big casting where people from all around the world came over. There were so many people out there for acting. So I feel if there was a lot more promotion between the acting community with those who have that passion, I feel like that can actually open up a lot more eyes to actually try as well.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Bethel, I'd like your response to that. What do you see as the obstacles that need to be overcome so that our theater culture is more sustainable and desirable?
So I really like what Alexia said, and but I think that the issue with publication, and you kind of need a critical mass. So what we need to do is to be encouraging all the people who perform and who work with us to spread the word on their social media whenever they're in rehearsal, whenever they're going to be in a show, so that it can penetrate more widely. There is always the challenge, and we have a real challenge of support. Where theater survives and where theater flourishes in the world, it has significant support, corporate and or government. And we just don't have that. We don't have corporate support. Every now and then people come in, but corporations in the Bahamas tend to do a lot more with Junkanoo, for example. And we definitely don't have any government support. And right now we are working, the theater is in discussions with the university to begin to develop a more stable existence. But the biggest challenge that we have is we don't have an industry. We have a lot of people who have passion, who have incredible talent, who have serious gifts, but people got to keep the lights on. People got to buy their food. People have to pay, you know, people have to work to make salaries. And we can't hire people right now. Everybody's doing it for the love of it. And without that investment, it's just not going to flourish. And people like Alexia are not going to see a future in it, because there isn't really a future in it. I'm a university professor who does theater on the side, and there's nothing against the university and there's nothing against my professorship, but I don't know what I would be doing if I could be a full-time theater professional.
Interesting. Dr. Barkey, what strategies do you believe are essential in nurturing a new generation of diverse and inclusive theater practitioners? How can an educational institution such as UB lead the charge in this endeavor?
Well, I was thinking about what Nico said about building critical mass, which I think is absolutely true. But one of the great things about, you know, we're not New York City, but we have 7 million people coming into the island every year that are new people looking for entertainment. I mean, there's only so much you can do on the beach. A couple of days later, you're sunburnt, ready for something else. There's really an opportunity, I think, for the companies, the corporations that are the ones right now that are basically making lots and lots of revenue off visitors to start to actually raise that level of experience and perhaps even increase people's interest in coming to the Bahamas by adding experiential entertainment level, because that's where the theater could come in. And along with that, I mean, you're able to, you know, when you're doing entertainment, so if you look at the range of things available, even say in film, right, you have, you know, lighthearted or comedies, and you have really deep, thoughtful cinema, something that's happening. They're all in the same area, and often one supports the other. The deeper, thoughtful, innovative films often end up having techniques and aesthetics that eventually get incorporated into mainstream, really, mega earners for films. And the two kind of feed into each other, then the money can feed back down to support that same alternative support level. So as far as the strategy goes, I think none of that can happen without a pipeline of people who can act and produce theater. And so there needs to be impetus at the educational level, whether it's corporate governmental support, to get the program off the ground and start building up that group of people. Because as they come into the market, into the labor market, there's going to be a realization that they themselves can be entrepreneurial and create their own theater company. You know, we could have more than one theater company. There's lots of opportunities on the island, many hotels. I mean, we don't just have one hotel. We have hundreds of hotels. So there's lots of ways that industry could proliferate. But I think you can't do it without a pipeline. You really can't do it without the educated people. Otherwise, you're importing actors. You're importing people to come in and then participate. And that may be another small strategy. It might be actually, as you think about visiting professors, people coming in and elevating, speaking to the craft of theater, the craft of acting, and their own successful careers they've had and the environments they were in, and then speaking about that and basically educating people on what all that involves. I think that would be an important aspect. So basically a pipeline. Secondly, you need the venues once people graduate.
Right. Thank you for that. So I'm really interested in the idea of theater, and based on the what Nico said earlier, right, in terms of that particular short tales with that message, I think that, you know, theater can be and has been dangerous, right, in terms of the messages, in terms of what is on stage. And so when we come back from our break, I want us to maybe think about dangerous theater, right? What does that mean? And do we support dangerous theater? I'm just thinking about a conversation that was held at UB a few months back, and there was, you know, a sort of outcry because of that conversation. I'm wondering what role the University of the Bahamas has in, if we are developing theater and pushing theater, in terms of thinking about theater that really challenges some of the things that we really find as we are rooted in certain ideas. And so I want us to talk about dangerous theater when we come back, and why that might be important, and whether that can exist within this space, and whether we can do that at the University of the Bahamas. We'll take a break here, and when we come back, we will have more conversation.
Chapter One Bookstore is proud to serve the students, faculty, and staff of the University of the Bahamas and the community at large. We are the premier choice for the purchase of university textbooks and supplies, and UB logo apparel, paraphernalia, and gifts. We also carry a wide variety of school supplies, learning aids, and leisure books. Visit our copy center for all of your printing, copying, and binding needs. Chapter One Bookstore is located on the ground floor of the Michael H. Eldon Complex on University Drive. Shop with us on Monday through Saturday. You can contact us at 397-2650 or email at chapter1@ub.edu.bs. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chapter One Bookstore. Chapter One, the premier choice.
And welcome back to University Drive. I am your host, Craig Smith, and our guests today again are Dr. Douglas Barkey, Dr. Nicolette Bethel, and Alexia Mangal. And we are talking about theater and performing arts in the Bahamas. And before our break, I asked my guests to have a conversation about dangerous theater. What does that mean? What is the role of theater in terms of representing diversity in views, in life experiences? Nico, in an earlier segment, you spoke about how theater can change people's lives in certain ways. And you gave an example of a play that was about a same gender loving couple. And in some spaces in the Bahamas, that could be considered dangerous theater, right? So I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit more about the theater and its role in pushing the envelope and helping us to maybe move beyond certain ideas that we may hold.
So I think that, like for us in particular, theater is dangerous because it makes people confront human beings, right? And to identify with human beings. And a successful piece of theater will take somebody that the audience or members of the audience can identify with and put them basically through things. And the audience, if it's successful, will experience what that person is experiencing. And if it resonates with them in their life, it can and will change. And it's dangerous in a society where things are not perfect. And our society, let's face it, is not a perfect society in a lot of ways. We're grappling with all kinds of things. And part of it has to do with structures that disadvantage a whole lot of people and advantage a few. And so theater can be dangerous by making those structures visible, by making people think, by making people see alternatives, and by making people come up with ways to address those things.
I like that. Dr. Barkey, what do you see, or how do you see the University of Bahamas being a part of that in terms of, you know, I think that Nico may have a little bit more leeway because it's in the Dundas, but what role does the university have in presenting this kind of work?
Well, I think the university has a role to be a safe space, you know, where ideas can be explored. And the theater is a great place for that. As I think Dr. Bethel was mentioning, you can experience other people's perspectives, which I think that's a key thing. So experience other people's stories. You're drawn in, you're immersed in their story. You know, the year of theater we were talking about before, it was really was a fantastic series of plays. I learned so much about Bahamian culture. And some of those plays were not necessarily easy to watch. There were some about domestic violence, the machismo, some about, you know, people bullying, and there's just a range of stuff from the good to the bad, right? All of humanity was kind of present in each one of those stories. At the same time, as just incredible insight into cultural themes, cultural identity, individual identity, and so on, that I was able to experience that I don't think I could experience any other way. So in order to have, so here's the other thing too about in education, if you don't provide a safe space, then you're putting these boxes around people and it limits your creativity. You start to self-censor then. So when you have too many, you're afraid of breaking the rules, right? You're afraid of going over the line, then you make yourself step back. And so you have this almost, it's worse, I think, than censorship, because you start to self-censor and then you never explore the ideas. So then you're limited and your experience is limited. And if we want to be participating in the global order and have our theater environment, our theater productions be viewed at the level, content levels, other countries or other things happening in the region, then we need to leave the door open to explore these things. And if there's any place where that can happen, it's in theater, because you're able to, that's a fantasy, a window into this fantasy that you have. It's not, no one's getting hurt. You know, you're just really just have a chance to sort of be the person outside the globe, outside the aquarium, so to speak, watching what happens inside the aquarium. But you're in the audience, you're in a safe space, right? You're not going to get hurt by that. You're going to have maybe a lot to think about when the play's over. But it's a safe area as far as that goes. So I think the university really has to promote that idea of safe space, a place to explore creatively and really try out new things and talk about things that might be on the edge, because where else are you going to do it? I mean, if you can't do it at the university, where else are you going to do it? Because everywhere else, there's going to be a business plan involved. It's got to make money. I mean, yeah, the dentist can do some of this, but also they need to pay the bills too. So that is another way of controlling content, because you have to then create content that is appealing to everybody, right? So you have to be careful about your audience and who it is that you're going to take on. Whereas the university, you have that kind of liberty that you're not worried about that part. You're really worried about learning and creating knowledge around creative acting and production.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things too about theater, you know, everyone doesn't have to like it. You know what I mean? I think that you cannot like something and it can create conversation, right? And mm-hmm. I think that is the value as well, is that it can spark conversations. I mean, think about something like Can't Lead a Horse to Water, right? That's dealing with some really interesting dynamics, right? In terms of relationships, parental relationships, and so on. But it also provides insight into a particular lived experience, and it may help us to get a better understanding of certain people who may have lived a particular experience. I think, again, Gun Boy Rhapsody, it does the same thing also in terms of giving us insight into maybe people or an experience that we may not quote unquote like, but it forces us to see the humanity in everyone, right? And at least connecting on that level in terms of this is a human being and this is a human experience. And while I may not like it or I may not necessarily agree with this particular thing, I can still see someone's humanity because of this play. Alexa, what about you? What kinds of roles are you interested in playing? I see you as a sort of a bit quiet, right? But you tend to come alive on the stage. I'm interested, what type of roles are you interested in playing?
I love any drama roles or even comedic roles, or even a mixture of like a dramedy where it's a serious matter, but you can also still kind of lighten up the mood just a little so that people aren't too drawn to the sadness of it, but they can still enjoy it, you know, with a happy feeling as well. Most of the plays that I have participated in, those were always my roles, where I was a little, it had that drama effect to it, but then there was also that comedic relief as well.
Okay, awesome. So Nico, can you talk to us a little bit more about you said you have a series in the spring. Can you give us a little bit more information about what and when?
Sure. Thank you. So our spring season opens tonight, which is so this is airing on Saturday. So our spring season opened on Thursday, March the 7th, and we have 2 weekends. We generally do 6 performances. Sometimes we do matinees as well. So Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we will be having shows. So right now we are showing a twofer. It's 2 one-act plays. One is very serious and Bahamian, and the other one is very lighthearted and not. The first one is Them by Winston Saunders, his first play, and it's about what happened at the moment of majority rule and what it meant for some individuals. And then the second play is something called A Merry Regiment of Women, which is about some of Shakespeare's women who are called together to have a meeting about their lack of representation in Shakespeare's work. So that's gonna be our March production. And our April production is 2 new Bahamian plays. One is called Ralphie's Barbershop. They're all male, 5 men in a barbershop in the Bahamas. And the second play is called The Private Memoirs of Five Bahamian Men. That one is serious, and it's monologues by five different Bahamian men. So that's going to be the April production. In May, we're going to the US. We're going to produce a play called True West by Sam Shepard, who is or was an outstanding American contemporary playwright. And then we're going to round off the season with The Good Doctor by Neil Simon. And what he has done is he's taken Chekhov's short stories and he's turned them into short plays. So it's kind of like a short tales sort of thing, a bunch of short plays with different characters and different situations, but it's screamingly funny, very Russian, and very crazy.
Awesome.
That will
and
be in June.
What's the best way for folks to get tickets or find out more about the event?
So the best thing to do is to get the tickets from the Dundas, but we do have an online service that is now much more flexible than the one we were using. You can purchase your tickets online using PayPal or using credit cards or by bank transfer. I don't really know what the link is. So I would say go to shakespeareinparadise.org or to dundasciviccenter.org or to ringplay.org and have a look and see what's playing. That's the best way to go about it. And then sign up for our mailing list and you'll get it delivered to your inbox on occasion.
All right, wonderful. Alexia, can you tell us a little bit about maybe where people can find information about the UB Theatre Company or Picky Peasy Nappy?
So we have a Instagram page where we've started promoting it, showing a little bit of the cast, who plays who, and then we're also showing a little snippets of behind the scenes on the Instagram page. We are thinking of starting a TikTok page as well, so we may do a little more with that. A lot more Great. Of our behind the scenes may come on there.
Good. So I know that TikTok, you kids on the TikTok, so that would be a great way to get some younger people interested. I do believe that there's a Facebook page as well, UB Theatre Company. And folks can always send an email to get more information. And I think that your show is premiering this April, right?
Yes, this April.
All right, cool. So I guess if people are interested in that, they can just check on Facebook or keep an eye on Instagram for more posts from the UB Theatre Company. All right, so let's take the last few minutes. And I'm just interested in hearing from any last words from anyone. I see Nicolette has posted ShakespeareInParadise.org, ringplay.org, and dundascenter.org. So for more information about Shakespeare in Paradise, Short Tales, Ringplay Productions, you can go to those sites. Dr. Barkey, last words in terms of when can the general public expect for the BFA in theater at University of the Bahamas?
Good question, because our curriculum process is not a speedy one. However, we have made good progress. I'd say we're halfway there at the moment. I think it's a year off before it'll actually be approved. So, and as you know, we're going through accreditation. That makes things a little complex as well. But at this point, we really are just creating some of the courses. We have the plan made. The preliminary plan has been approved. So at this point, it's somewhat downhill. You know, we just need to really put together the final set of courses, build them out basically, and we'll be ready to go.
All right. So if folks are currently at UB, but interested in CIS or accounting, but they really want to be in theater, they have about a year's wait.
Yeah, and I would love to hear from them as well, because I'd like to know who the students are that are interested in taking it. So that would be great if they can write me.
Okay. And maybe high schoolers, 11th grade, 12th grade, interested in theater, interested in acting. Maybe by the time as they graduate, we might be ready for them to come in. And also, they might be, you know, they may be able to write to you as well and find out about the process and where the process might be. How can they get in touch with you?
Well, my email is quite easy. Douglas.Barkey, B-A-R-K-E-Y, @ub.edu.bs.
Wonderful. Nico, before we leave, any final words, thoughts? What does the Bahamian people need to know about theater in the Bahamas and or how they can support theater in the Bahamas?
So I just want to leave you guys, you have all the links, and there's also a Facebook page in the name of Shakespeare in Paradise. But I just want to say that right now we are the short tales call for submissions is open, where we are soliciting short scripts from people who want to get into theater and who may not be ready to take that plunge and write a whole full-length play. So write a 10-minute play, send it to admin@shakespeareinparadise.org, and then we'll send it out to our cadre of readers, and who knows, it might get selected to be in the next Shakespeare in Paradise in September, October 2024.
Wonderful. And Alexia, do you want to make a plug for Picky Peasy Nappy Head?
Yes, you guys can follow us. It's at UB Theater. Oh, sorry, Bahamas UB Theater Company. You can give us a nice little follow on that Instagram page. We would love your support. And just one final thing, anyone out there who is interested in the acting industry, I highly recommend you just push yourself to do it, because it is worth it. The support that you get in the community is 100%. I love everyone who I've ever worked with. They're constantly pushing me to continue to do it. And I would love for more people to just join us. Don't forget to support everyone. Anyone that you may know who is even in the community, continue to support them and push them to do it, to help the acting community in the Bahamas.
Wonderful. It's amazing how quickly time slips away. It's been such an edifying conversation with all of you. I hope our listeners have enjoyed it. That brings us to the end of our show. Continue to stay tuned for more episodes of University Drive. I'm Craig Smith, signing off for now.
University Drive is a production of the Office of University Relations at University of the Bahamas. All rights reserved.